buckle your seatbelt. It's time for another episode of the Prepper Recon Podcast. I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out jmbullion.com today.
Ready Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at readymaderesources.com. Today's guest is Matt from Omega Survival Supply. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Mark. Appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. Let's start out by telling the folks, what woke you up to the need to be prepared?
The $64 million question. So I've always been into the outdoors. I've been a scout. I consider myself still a scout. So I got involved in that, of course. So the outdoors has always been a part of my life. Still like to do that when I get a chance. But I guess so far as emergency preparedness goes, I've been doing it for about 16 years. And I think it was just, I always listened to different talk show hosts and stuff that discussed political matters since a young age. So I had a good basis for paying attention to those types of things. But I guess it was around 2000 that I really started tuning in more in depth to the geopolitical sphere, as well as some of the concerning things that have been going on domestically. So I guess that's kind of what really ramped me up into overdrive on personal preparedness and just self-reliance.
And it was, and so that was right around Y2K. Was that part of it for you?
No, Y2K really, I mean, it registered, but, I was still a little bit younger at that point. I have found that most people are, 30 or right around 30 before they really start getting into this heavy. I know there's some of the old timers around that today. I know a few guys that were preparing even before Y2K. So we've kind of got a generation before us that led the way and put a lot of information out there. But of course, it's kind of snowballed since then. I do see some youngsters come through, even 14 or 15 year olds that are not only into the outdoors, but also onto the emergency preparedness and self-reliance thing. But I have found that it's, around about 30 years old when people really start getting into it, and it kind of goes up from there.
Yeah, and I think that the generations before ours, I'm assuming that you're probably pretty close to my age, I think that they didn't really have the term prepper, but they lived a more resilient, self-reliant sort of a lifestyle. I know both of my parents grew up on farms, so something like an EMP would have had a much softer effect on them growing up than what it would have on our generation now. And I think that now, not only are we more dependent on these various systems, I think all of these systems have got so much more complexity built into them now, and that we've just built in so many more points of failure into the system. Would you agree with that?
Oh, totally. A lot of people anyway are familiar with the Carrington event, which occurred in, I think it was, 1859,
right.
When, of course, we had very little or no electronic technology. We've all heard the stories about the telegraph wires catching on fire, even a few telegraph operators getting electrocuted, and some of the train rails even melting or burning, some people have reported. So certainly back then, of course, it wouldn't have been much of anything, and it wasn't. But, of course, the same type of event today would just be a crushing blow and probably throw us back into the Stone Age. I hate to be so doomy and gloomy about it, but I think that's probably the reality with banking and everything relying so heavily on electronics and computers and whatnot. So I kind of tell people from time to time, my kids and people that come into the store, the Amish, are not going to be affected at all. Or very little, they're not going to even notice it, as well as people living subsistence lifestyles in other countries, what you consider the third world, possibly, where they're still using manure for fuel and this type of thing, just kind of, again, living a subsistence lifestyle. I don't think they're going to notice much of a change at all, but certainly people living in the westernized world would be heavily affected.
And how did Omega Survival Supply come to be?
Well, I guess it's kind of one of those dreams that you, I had run another small business for 14 years, a woodworking related business. And I sold that business and, just trying to make the dream come true of turning a hobby into work so you never go to work a day in your life kind of thing.
Amen.
Yeah, I still run a couple of them. You're living it too. Trying to run a couple of other small businesses on the side while I'm doing this to kind of supplement because Dayton's kind of a mid-sized marketplace. So I'm not sure whether a niche market like this is actually a viable business model in mid-sized cities, but certainly in larger cities, I think that it would be. Man.
And in your opinion, what's the number one threat to our way of life right now?
Well, we've got possible scenarios, and then we've got plausible scenarios, and of course there's, different levels of possibility, I guess, or plausibility within each. To me, it's economics, I think, is the biggest thing that concerns me. Of course, in the news cycle, there's lots of civil unrest and other social issues, societal things that we have to deal with here domestically. But on a global scale, there's the geopolitics involved in it all. Just this morning, I think the 24th of August, there was reports that Turkey had sent actual tanks into a border town in northern Syria. To me, and after shelling the city, now they've shelled a lot, but this is the first report that I remember seeing where they've actually sent ground forces into Syria, which they're backed by, or I should say the Syrian rebels, that is, those forces against Assad, are backed by Turkey. So that's kind of a big deal. So there are things like that, that occur on a global scale that I pay attention to and try to keep my ear to the ground on, but domestically and internationally, the economic situation is really what worries me the most. As you may know, the interest on our debt alone here in the United States is mathematically unpayable. I think you'd have to have something like 500% GDP growth to begin to get that under control. It's like having a credit card balance that's astronomical. The interest is just impossible to pay it off. So to me, the economic issue is probably the most plausible because it's already tomorrow. You could have mainstream financial people that you see the talking heads on CNN or wherever explain to you why the dollar just collapsed right now. And there'd be plenty of academically accepted reasons for why that happened. So it's almost like you're a dead man walking. It's really already happened, in my opinion, my humble opinion. The only thing that's really holding the dollar up right now is the fact that it's tied to, that it's the petrodollar. The fact that we can purchase oil, and generally the world must purchase oil, which of course is lifeblood economically, in the U.S. dollar, is really what's making it hold its value at this point. Other than that, as everyone knows, we went off the gold and silver standard in 1971, I believe, because we had about 14.5 billion, or it was either billion, I think it was billion dollars in unfunded value in the dollar across the world. Other countries holding 14.5 billion U.S. dollars, which did not have silver or gold backing in the Federal Reserve System. So I believe that's why, there's probably lots of reasons why, but that was the stated reason that Nixon took us off of the gold standard in 71 is because we just didn't have the money. And that, of course, became tied to the petrodollar, which is like what I said. I think that's what's the only thing really maintaining the value at this point, other than the future labor of your kids and grandkids and just the fact that people think that it's worth something.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Katie Armor offers affordable body armor, including level 3 trauma plates made of AR-500 steel. They can endure multiple rounds from pistols and rifles up to 7.62 NATO. Order today from katiearmor.com. That's CATIArmor.com.
Following a crippling EMP attack against the USA, college student-turned-survivalist Danny Walker finally makes it to his secure rural location. No sooner does Danny arrive than he is given another petrifying prophetic vision of the chaos still to come. The country has been brought to its knees, and the thin veneer of civility has been torn to shreds by the savagery lurking just below the surface. Danny has survived the EMP, but will he live through the most vicious era in U.S. history? By Ichabod, Book 2 of Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt. From Amazon.com today in Kindle, paperback, or audio edition.
We had a really scary period of hyperinflation from the time we went off the gold standard until Kissinger negotiated the petrodollar. So I suppose if we were to come off the petrodollar, which it seems like that, we're really doing a lot to alienate a lot of the folks that are helping to prop that up, especially Saudi Arabia. So if we were to come off with that, the petrodollar, I suppose that we would expect to see similar types of economic disruptions as what we saw in that period between the coming off the gold standard and getting on the petrodollar.
Well, I have no formal education in economics, but I would tend to agree.
And also,
what else is there really? It's again, it's the future labor, possibly assets, hard physical assets such as real estate in the United States. I'm not sure, other than coming in and taking the furniture and repossessing the car, so to speak, from our country's standpoint, I'm really not sure what other value you could actually assigned to the dollar.
Yeah, and some have said that we have a lead-backed dollar now, because if anybody doesn't want to take it, we'll come stick a gun in your face.
Yeah, we'll call it conspiracy or call it conspiracy fact, whatever you like, but I think that's what happened to Saddam. He threatened to go off the petrodollar, and wham, bam, there that was. Gaddafi was the same way, which many people sort of considered, not that he's some kind of angel or, any of these people that don't subscribe to the Western banking or, particularly want or have a reason to stay on the petrodollar. Not that these people are angels. I mean, I certainly think they're probably technically enemies of the United States and philosophy, et cetera. But you can just put 2 + 2 = 4 here, I think. You threaten to go off the petrodollar or buff the Western banking system, and you're going to be labeled a public enemy.
And then there's the...
Right or wrong, that seems to be what's happening.
Yeah, and then another coincidence in that same vein was the CEO of Total of France, a big oil company in France, and he made a statement saying that it didn't make sense for France to buy dollar to sell oil in dollars and then have to exchange the dollars for francs, and that's about all he said. And then about 6 months after that, he was traveling to Russia, and a drunk snowplow driver drove straight into his plane when it was landing and blew it up.
Was the driver recovered? Yeah. Or was it a remote control? Who knows, man?
Yeah, who knows? Because it's in Russia. So you don't know. You don't have any idea. Between what the official story is and what actually happened, you'll never know. The only thing you know is he said something about it, and 6 months later he was dead in very, very odd circumstances. Yeah.
Yeah, well, accidents happen all the time, right?
Yeah. You drop barbells on your neck when you're working out, and you just right. All kinds of stuff.
Fall out of the window, in a carpet, whatever.
Or you get suicidal and you shoot yourself 3 times in the head.
Right. Anything
stuff,
can happen, I guess.
Stuff happens.
Hey, do you pay attention to the web bot at all? Do you ever follow that?
No.
No, not at all?
Nope. Tell me about it. Tell us about it.
Okay. All right. Well, the web bot is WEBBOT, is something designed by a fellow named Cliff High. Yes, that's his real name, he claims. It's a computer algorithm which basically tries to tap into, without getting too esoteric here, tap into the thoughts of the masses, if you will. And it does this like Fox does for search engines. It runs around and it compiles different what they call data sets. So there's a data set for the U.S. population and societal issues. There's a data set for economics, both domestically and internationally. And then there's a myriad other data points of information. So what it does is it goes out and it compiles the number of times somebody's using certain words, and it relates it to regions. I don't know how the algorithm works. I don't think anybody really does except Mr. High. But it's fascinating, really. They put out a report once a month. I think you can go to his site, and pay $15 a month to get a full report. But there are other people that kind of give synopsises of the report, usually around the first or second of each month of the previous month's report, and just try to give you a quick overview of what the full report said. But it's fascinating, and a lot of times you'll get what you call a web bot hit, where the web bot predicts this happening because it's having so many instances of people mentioning it, and then bam, it happens. That little banking crisis, which kind of turned out to be a crisis, non-crisis in the Italian banks, it kind of mentioned that. It was talking about the Panama Canal, and I hadn't heard a story on the Panama Canal for years, and it never brought up, and it mentioned the Panama Canal and how they could be having problems, and then all of a sudden, 2-3 weeks later, I'm hearing about the Panama Canal on NPR News. So it's talking big-time economic disruptions in the coming months. So I tend to kind of pay attention to that. So, yeah, if you haven't checked that out, man, check out the web bot.
I actually saw a YouTube video with him. So I had heard of that. I'd forgotten the name of it. But yeah, I had the CIA had something very similar. They had it was called Project I think it was called Project Prophecy, and it was watching for terrorist activity. In trying to predict terrorist activity based on trading algorithms, watching the stock markets, and because obviously there was a lot of short selling for American Airlines and prior to 9/11, which I think a lot of that was coming out of Saudi Arabia. Traders and they've got all kinds of ways to mask their identity when they're doing stuff like that, but. There was a lot of sort of things that could be interpreted as indicators. So they developed something similar to that, to where they were watching market moves to try to predict terrorist attacks.
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot to that. Because the algorithms, of course, are very complex, but to be able to see data patterns. Whether you're seeing patterns and correlations then in words or stock market numbers or whatever, and being able to tie those to physical events in the world, the computers don't lie. So if they start seeing correlations between certain things, and that's what the algorithms do, then you can make predictive models. It's not a crystal ball. Nothing's ever certain. But I think I do like things like that because, I'm always looking, who doesn't want an edge on life in general? But if it gives you any kind of clues at all, Google, I think, has something else similar. And I think they were actually working with Amazon. Last I heard, they had arrived at like a 98% certainty level that they could predict what product you were interested in purchasing next. And they were talking with Amazon that they, with these drones, just imagine it. Amazon knows what you want to buy before you buy it. It just shows up on your doorstep from a drone, and you're like, oh, well, I was going to buy that anyway, so there it is. So, yeah, the complexity and the ability in the computing world and the ability to predict human behavior is, something that I've kind of paid attention to. Quantum computing is something else I've started looking into recently, too, the D-Wave computer, which I can't remember the name of the company that's developed that, but Google's involved, NASA's involved, and it's way beyond my pay grade to discuss, but it's interesting nonetheless.
Yeah, it's interesting times we're living in, no doubt. Now, Omega's a brick-and-mortar store, is that right?
Yep, sure is, and we really concentrate on the retail sales to walk-in clientele. You can see on our website, I actually say that on the front page, don't buy online, come to the store. I still sell some things via the internet, of course, if people really want it or if they're far away. And I do make it a point to try to give people the best prices. Shipping's gotten so expensive, though, lately. It's just crazy. But I do like people to come into the store more because there's nothing like being able to pick something up and evaluate it in your hand. And there's been a lot of products that we've, you know, I've gotten burned on the internet in the past, you know, earlier on in my preparations, I guess, with something that's just a piece of junk. And there's been lots of, you know, not a lot, but a few things that we've dumped from the store just because we've gotten in and evaluated. And we're like, this isn't that great, you know, so I don't want to sell it to somebody else too, either. So, yeah, I like people coming in. I like to meet people. I like to talk to them. I like to hear what they have to say and bounce ideas off of each other. And, yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
That's the end of the first half of my interview with Matt from Omega Survival Supply in Dayton, Ohio. Tune in next week for the rest of the show.
Get prepared before disaster strikes. PrepperRecon.com offers Molly-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, tough strip bandages, and so much more. Kits are available in OD Green, Coyote, Black, and ACU. $99 includes shipping. Go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.